Well, it's easy to get things twisted. There were a group of kids arguing about what God's name was. And one kid said, well, God's name is Andy. They said, Andy? Yeah, you know, from that hymn, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. And another kid said, no, his name is Howard. Howard? Yes, our Father, Howard in heaven. Well, these two disciples had things twisted. They were terribly upset and grieving over Jesus' death. And they were apparently going home, and they apparently lived out of town, not in Jerusalem. And they were trying to put the pieces of their broken lives back together after Jesus, who they thought was going to help his country, had been instead put to death on a cross. Their hopes and dreams of a new kingdom were over. Jesus had been crucified, dead, buried. And they met this stranger on the Emmaus Road who set things straight for them. He said, did you not know the Messiah had to suffer, had to die? Interesting. It's easy for us to blame the Roman government or blame the Jewish leaders for Jesus' death. But Jesus was explaining to them that he had to die, that this was part of his plan, because if he did not die, he could not be raised from the dead. And being raised from the dead is the central affirmation of the Christian faith. You know, there were two affirmations of the early Christians. One was, Jesus is Lord, and the second one, he is risen. And, you know, we forget that. We focus so much sometimes on the cross that we forget that that's only the beginning, and the story is culminated with his resurrection. We can get things twisted around too, you know. I have heard so often people twisting the Bible to justify some preconceived ideas. And so we have the Christian nationalists who have this image of Jesus not as the suffering servant, not as the one who came bringing peace, not as the one who showed us God's love in an amazing way. No, they see Jesus as the conquering hero, Jesus brandishing his sword, Jesus killing all of the enemies of Christ. That's not what the Bible teaches. We have people over the centuries twisting the story of the Bible to justify slavery or racial superiority or the inferiority of women. You know, there's a story about, what is it? Oh, yeah. Of course God created women last because everybody saves their best work until the end. Anyway, these disciples were on the road and they were so upset and so grieving that they had no idea that this stranger was really Jesus, risen from the dead. And he walked with them and explained the scriptures to them. They still did not get it. They did not know it was him. But when they gathered at a room to stay the night, and Jesus blessed the bread and broke it, that was the clue that said, oh my, it is Jesus. It is him. He is alive. He is risen. Oh my goodness. And then mysteriously, Jesus vanished. Quite a story. I've wondered for years, and I've been in ministry for what, like 55 years since my ordination, and before that, college and seminary, and I still wonder about Jesus' resurrection body because it looked like him. They were able to recognize him eventually, and he appeared to them. His body was amazingly transformed into this body that could appear or disappear. His resurrection body could pass through solid stone because, you know, the tomb was rolled away. The stone in the tomb was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let the disciples in so they could see that he was gone, that he was risen. So this amazes me, and I wonder what our resurrection bodies are going to be like. I hope they will be transformed as Jesus' body was transformed. I hope that, you know, I won't have the hip pain, the knee pain, the shoulder pain, that, you know, all of these things that age seems to bring with it. And yet, I hope I'll still be me. And Jesus' resurrection body is amazing. It confounds me. It makes me wonder, what is this going to be like? What will it really, really be like? So when we gather around the table to celebrate communion, we're not doing it this Sunday, but we will in a couple of weeks. When we gather around the table for communion and we break the bread and repeat Jesus' words, I hope that one of the things that happens for us is we recognize he is risen, that this is not the bread, just his sacrifice, that this is the bread of his triumph, and that maybe the bread that they shared at Emmaus gives us a better understanding of communion, because when he broke the bread and shared it with them, then they recognized him, and we can recognize him as our risen Lord, who is in the Spirit with us. Well, anyway, he disappeared, and these two disciples were so amazed. Now, they had stopped for the night because it was getting dark, but oh my goodness, this was so profound that they ran 7 miles in the dark back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples, "We have seen him. He is alive. He is with us." You know, everything looked different from that point on. Everything was changed from that point on. And when we catch a vision of the risen Christ, everything else looks different. Life looks different. Death looks different. We will be transformed. We will be given new life that never ends. And, you know, when it really gets us, we want to share it. We want to tell other people, "Hey, this is amazing. This is the power of God, which transcends all of our understanding, all of our understanding of science, of biology, of physics. It goes well beyond that, pointing to the great power that God has over our understanding, over science, over life." Anyway, would you run 7 miles in the dark to tell people that Christ is risen? I'm not sure I would, but maybe we should be willing to take the plunge. And maybe the thing that is so missing for us, where we're not so willing to run 7 miles or 10 miles to Los Alamos, or however miles it is to Santa Fe. But maybe we need to get a fresh vision of what God has done for us. And maybe that will take away our tiredness and give us the energy that those disciples had to run 7 miles in the dark, to give us the energy and the enthusiasm and the excitement to say, hey, this is great. Hey, God has good news for us. Hey, we think of death as the end, but hey, it's just a new beginning of something great and wonderful that we cannot fully comprehend. Whew. How about for our church? We're doing this transition time. It's a time of waiting. And some of us say, we're waiting too long. Let's get on with this. It's a time of being on hold. But in the light of the resurrection, can this be a time of opportunity, a time of hope, a time not when we're feeling worn out and tired, or, yeah, it's one thing, it's the same thing after another, and we're just watching the size of our congregation dwindle one by one. Can this be transformed into a time of opportunity and hope when we share with our neighbors, our family, our friends, the good news of Jesus Christ and draw them in to celebrate with us what he has done, and to be drawn together into this loving family? We have so much love to share with one another. Let's share it. And let's let go of this, well, it's the same old, same old. Let's check out the new opportunities that God is giving us. And let's stop being just the people of the cross. Let us become the people of the open tomb. Let us stop living in the shadow of death. We are resurrection people. This is a time when God has come to heal our hurts, to forgive our sins, to teach us new ways to live in the power of the resurrection. This is a time to build up the life of our church with faith, hope, joy, and love. So that's the story for today. Two disciples walked down the road in grief and despair, and Jesus appeared and set them straight. And when they recognized it was him, they ran to tell the others. When we recognize fully that Christ is risen, what are we going to do? And how can we recognize that the risen Christ is present in our lives? And how can we live in ways that show the miracle of the resurrection? How can we let God fill us with new energy? How can we share the good news in our homes, among our friends, with the people we work with or go to school with? Christ is risen. He brings new life for each one of us. Christ is risen. He brings new life for our church. Amen.